Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
As you can see, I'm here not as a professional at all. You know far, far more about me, about midwifery, than I do. I am standing here as a mum of two children. And so talking very much about this issue from the women's perspective, can midwives bring services to women? I guess you all think the answer is yes, or you wouldn't be here. But I want to talk through a few slides about a survey that we've done just over the last few weeks with the RCM, because I think it's quite interesting and hopefully gives you a bit more perspective on how women perceive this. But I think perhaps just to put things in context a little bit, maybe it would be helpful if it's okay with you just to talk briefly about the website that I represent, NetMums, which actually we started about 11 years ago, and I was one of the founders of it, and it really came from a personal experience, not knowing where to go within our local community to find friends, to just places to visit with children, and I was suffering with postnatal depression and didn't know where to get support. So it was really built within our own community in order to help other women who felt the same way as us and needed that. Over the next few years, it grew to, and we now have every area of the country covered, but we're different from the other parenting websites because we still very much focused on those local communities, finding local information, but also around providing expert support to people as well. We actually have a contract from the government which allows us to provide support. It's a bit like a helpline, support within our forum. And people come and talk about all sorts of issues there, from stillbirth, birth trauma, breastfeeding issues, right through to domestic violence, which obviously can be more of a difficulty. In fact, we referred somebody who was pregnant to social services just last week. And we have support in providing that service from a whole range of different partners. So we're very much focused on, as I say, the sort of the local and the support side of things. And NetMums as a whole has, perhaps partly because of that, grown to be particularly used by people in poverty and the lower income lower part of the spectrum in terms of the income, household income. And also it's grown now to be the biggest parenting website in the country. We have about 2.6 million people using it each month. And so we've been doing surveys now for about 3 years. Sorry, that's just showing the different things on pregnancy. I wanted to include a little picture of our pregnancy editor because she lives in Brighton. You might spot her. It's quite a good likeness, actually. She's outside somewhere. In terms of the survey, we've been running surveys now for the last 3 years with the RCM, and this time we looked specifically at community midwifery, and we asked them a very simple question actually at the end of the survey and said, would you recommend your midwife? And we were really pleased actually to find that 71% of mums said yes, they would recommend their midwife to others. That's a very sort of corporate marketing way of going about asking somebody what they thought. We didn't want to ask, did you think your care was good and excellent or whatever. We really wanted to just get a feel for it, and then we dug down by asking a few different questions. So actually, as I say, that I think is really positive, and particularly in the circumstances we see today. And a vote of approval and recognition that women do hold their midwives in very high esteem and do rely on them. Very strongly. So then we asked them about different aspects to find out what they appreciated. And competency, actually, we didn't ask a question for, so I don't have a result for that. Because I think that we felt that actually women expect their safety and the safety of their child to be the sort of the baseline. That's the minimum level, really. And we did have a few people in the comments saying that things had gone wrong for various reasons, but actually the numbers were very small. So actually it isn't, although in training, competency is everything, actually when it comes to the women, that's not really there. In terms of access, Most were happy about where they meet. There's often big debates about where it's best to hold the clinics and so on. 70% were seeing them in GP surgery, and 16% in England were now seeing them in their midwives and children's centres. And most were happy with where they had seen their midwife. Then we looked at whether they were happy with the amounts that they saw them, with the amount of time that they had to talk to them. Two-thirds said yes, they were happy. Of course, that leaves a third who would have liked more time. And in fact, we asked the same question for the period before and after the birth, and the results were the same. We did find quite a large number of people who only had one or two visits after the birth, and obviously they were the people in particular who, in that circumstance, were saying more help would have been really good. So then we looked at, as well, the question of choice, as we've just been hearing about. It's really interesting, actually, to hear your perspective. We found that 64% weren't offered a home birth. But then when we asked them whether they were happy with the choices offered, 80% said yes, they were. The people that said that they weren't happy were the ones who were often saying, I didn't realise there was a choice. did I have one? And they were saying that it wasn't necessary that they wanted a home birth, but sometimes they were interested in whether they could have gone to a different hospital or a different birth centre. So I think quite a large number were feeling, oh, well, this is just, you know, I'm going to be coming to this hospital and seeing the midwife that you know, I've been allocated, and that's the way it is. Continuity of care was quite a big thing. Around 60% would have preferred to have seen the same midwife, if possible, through their pregnancy, rather than seeing different members of the team. And about 40% did see the same person through the pregnancy. So there's a bit of a gap there. And continuity certainly came out as being important in some of the comments that we saw. Then in terms of the relationship that people have with them, we just asked whether the midwife was friendly. And we know that, yes, 45% said very friendly. I think that's really good. When people are very stretched, you've got like 5 minutes, 10 minutes to get through the appointment. You've got to do all this that's on your list. And actually to be having a relationship with somebody where they feel that actually you're very friendly towards them, I think is really good. So we did see that around 40%, though, said they were quite friendly or not friendly. So that was quite interesting. And then this one, though, was the one that starts to sort of bring it into perspective. And this is the one that sort of aligns with people's feelings as to whether they would recommend their midwife or not more closely. This was about giving confidence in taking decisions around the birth, around feeding the baby afterwards, around decisions around what tests you're going to have done, and all of those sorts of things. So we asked whether the midwife helped the woman to feel confident. And here we found that slightly fewer, 35% said always, 28% said mostly. So we got there about 16% said never. So that was starting to increase a bit. And then finally, did your midwife help you feel prepared for the birth? And there, 55% said yes, 45% said no. And that was the one that then most closely aligned with that recommendation question. So the people who said no are far more likely, very likely, to actually not recommend. And this didn't actually correlate very well with whether they'd had antenatal classes or not. This was very much about the midwife and the role the midwife had played in their care, and whether they felt they were okay and ready for it. So the key messages, I'm going to go on just very briefly to pull out two little things beyond that. But the key messages, I think, so far are just that women certainly value the relationship they develop. They particularly value the confidence they gain and value feeling prepared for the birth. And there were a lot of mothers who said in the comments that they recognised that there was a shortage of midwives, that they were very stretched at the moment, and so that it was difficult perhaps to always get the care that they wanted. But so it wasn't the fault of the midwives themselves. And so you are very much needed and will be welcomed. And so then just to very quickly explore two issues a little bit further, which I found very interesting. We actually asked whether people had felt anxious or depressed, what their mood was like during their pregnancy. And around 16% at the far right-hand side there said either quite or very anxious or depressed. And then we also asked whether the midwife had invited them to talk about their feelings, not specifically around this, but whether they were asked about their feelings and then whether they volunteered to talk about it. And the people in the green block that you can see there is the ones who did talk to their midwife about their feelings. And you can see as you go towards the right, the amount of green, the proportion of green, reduces. So by the time you get to the far right-hand side, only half the people, in fact, fewer than half, had actually talked to their midwife. So those who are more depressed, as you might expect, tend to be less open and willing, but also less likely to be asked how they're feeling. And that's because they're, you know, quite likely to be putting up barriers. There are all sorts of reasons for that. But just something that I felt was quite important. And then finally, around antenatal classes, there was a real change as you go towards the lower income spectrum. So the far left-hand side there, the bar there, is for people who were earning under £15,000 as a family income. So on the very lowest, in most poverty within the country. And 72% either didn't attend or weren't offered antenatal classes. So really striking. Of course, some of those would be second-time mums. So if we looked at just first-time mums and those who weren't offered antenatal classes, it was 26%. 26% of first-time mums on incomes of under 15,000 weren't offered antenatal classes. On the NHS, only one had actually taken a private or NCT class. And when you get to over £40,000, it's 9% weren't offered. So there's a real sort of split there. It seems to be that as resources are becoming tighter, there is perhaps the potential for those who need the services most to actually be most affected by that cut. And that's something... And that's happening for all sorts of reasons, very difficult to sort of really pin down, but something that I hope that we can all try and guard against as much as possible. So finally, could midwives bring services to women? Yes, midwives are valued and can bring all sorts of, a whole range of services to women. But I suppose from this, the key thing for me is that it's how the service is delivered is as important as what it is. I hope that's interesting for you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.